God is, he is really amazing. The Bible says we've been crucified with Christ, and he says we're buried with him in baptism. And you know, there is a crucifixion in this life. There is a burial in this life. He said you are dead to the world system, and there's two forces at work, and the real dynamic. One of them is the crucifixion of the flesh, the dying daily. But if that's all you ever do, we're not going to have very much fun. That's a necessity. The Bible calls it a sentence of death. It's a sentence that sentences a part of the old man. You have to understand, the Adamic part of you that came from Adam, he buried that already. He doesn't need to bury it again. He already did. And he gave you a newness of spirit. But in your flesh, there's still things that have to be put down. You understand that? And he releases a sentence upon it. And you, really, to walk with God and think that you can go anywhere else with that sentence is, the more you go into God, the higher that sentence, that sentence begins working hard. And how many of you know what I'm talking about? It just crucifies and crucifies. The Bible calls it a winnowing fork. Baptism of fire, whatever you want to call it. Anybody ever been under the winnowing fork? And you're like, when am I ever going to get out from under the winnowing fork? But see, that's only a part of the process, and there's a reason why he does that. And the reason why he does that is to release the other part of you into the heavenlies. He's actually helping you in a roundabout way, because if he doesn't do that, your flesh will get attached too much to the world system. He actually helps you by putting a sentence. But if you don't reach into the heavenlies with a spiritual part of you, then all you're going to do is experience wilderness all your life. And baptism of fire and winnowing fork, and we get very lopsided that way. There's two, they're really polar opposites, to be honest with you. One of them, there's a death to this world system. It gets to the point where you can't even eat from the world system. There's just nothing can, you know what I mean? The higher you get with God, and if you hang around here, that's what we want. It gets more glorious by the day. He's so wonderful. You don't want to be with anybody else but him if you're not running from him. But if you're running from him, that's not very fun. Tom, he'll let you run for a while, but the closer you get to him, he puts you on a shorter leash. You don't get to run so far and so long. Used to, I could run for like 6 months while I preach to you. I can't do that no more. You know, the call's still intact, but the part of me's running, see. You understand what I'm talking about? But when you start really eating from the heavenlies in a wonderful way, you really... You don't want to eat from anywhere else, but every day you're very hungry and thirsty, so you have a responsibility that you have to go there all the time. But the access gate is just wide open. It's just amazing. It's like you live in two different worlds. You live in his world, and then you come back to this one. Every time I come back to this one, I'm like, I want to go back to that one. I mean, you get to interceding up there, and you say, Lord, could we just not have to go back? Could I be like Enoch? Just take me on. I mean, of course, everybody else too, you know, but I have a family and all, but you know, I have to come back. But if I ever get raptured, you know what happened, you know, praise God. But you don't really want to leave his presence. It's so beautiful. His love is amazing. It's just amazing. And you can have it all the time, but you got to learn to access. And you got to learn to pass through the veil, and you got to learn to overcome. Your faith can overcome, but there's an initial, especially in the beginning when you're overcoming the veils and the layers, and you got about three veils you really have to overcome. That's the veil of your flesh. That's you. You got to reach out beyond that veil. And there's the veil of the earthly jurisdiction. And then there's the veil of the second heaven, the demonic realm. All of those veils impose, they try to impose an infirmity against your faith. They try to impose you and try to keep you down. And the way you go up is you got to have the word. You've got to understand the word. I'm not talking about to sit and read the word. You've got to understand the direct word as it pertains to the right hand of God. If you don't understand and have a full burning compass for the right hand of God, you won't make it there. You're going to go whatever compass you have. If you have no compass, you don't go anywhere. Do you understand? That's why he comes for the word, because if he steals the word, he steals the compass. Now, because we live in warfare daily, your word level is constantly being barraged. Do you understand that? He's constantly barraging you. There's a natural leakage just because of the warfare you go through. Do you understand that? There's a natural leakage. That's why you have to learn to be disciplined to eat even when you don't feel like it. You eat with your body. It's an amazing thing when our body gets hungry, we eat. We go find a place to eat. When our spirit gets hungry, we run. Sometimes we run instead of going to the table of God. And most of the time, I'm really in such heavy intercession over this now, is because, you know, for years we don't know how to get there or don't have the proper tools to get there, or we run into barriers and walls and they intimidate us and we don't know how to get through them. And because of that, we don't know how to learn to eat daily. And this is why the body of Christ is in the condition it's in. But God's changing that. Amen. He's changing it. He's going to teach us how to pass through the veil. He's going to teach you how to be a dual citizen. He's going to teach you how to come into the glories. You'll just be absolutely amazed at how much of the word says this. We unfolded the book of Colossians, and all of it, the first 3.5 chapters, deal specifically with the right hand of the Father. Just amazing. Tonight, what I want to get into is that veil, that when we approach the veil, one of the great things that drags us down is unworthiness or insecurity or feeling the imperfection of our life. We feel like we can't get through the veil because we're imperfect to go there. You ever tried to reach into God and you get stopped? And you think, okay, God's denying me. The heavens are not open today. I must have done something wrong. Or you get reminded of your shortcomings, failures, or your sins. You get reminded of all of that, see? And because of that, you feel, oh, what's the use? I'm not worried. I can't make it today. Maybe tomorrow. Well, if you couldn't, you know, tomorrow you're going to have the same battle. Do you understand that? Faith is a constant thing. And you're going to find something that your future is in your faith reaching into God. The Father, into God. Your future is not coming out of the heavenlies and building something in the natural. He's not going to let that prosper anymore. Your future is going further into Him, and He releases as you go further into Him. And the right hand of God's a very large, big place. Amen. So tonight we're going to get into that. It's just amazing. When you get in the right hand of God and start reading the Bible, I'm like, is this the same Bible I've been reading? Is this the same book I was reading? And it is. You have a different perspective. And I'll try to show that to you. If you read the Bible from here, looking up, that's one perspective. If you read the Bible from the right hand of the Father, looking down, you got another perspective. It all depends on where you're at, with the kind of light you're going to get. This book is multi-layered. When you're in the right hand, you're going through it, there's light. Sometimes you glimpse into things. You almost can reach to it, and you see this huge curtain, this huge window, and you want to reach into it. God's granting access in this hour and in this day. He's granting us access. Of course, He granted it ever since the cross. But we're coming into it, amen? And He's beautiful. Life's not worth living if you're not loved by the Father every day. It's just not worth living. I tell you, He's got enough love to make up for any love you didn't get. Don't be blaming your childhood of love you didn't get. You can't do that. God has enough love to make up for 40 years of not being loved. His love is so full. I don't know how He contains Himself, to be honest with you. I'll tell you one thing, who I'm thankful for is Jesus. I tell you what He gave us, His place with the Father. He shares it with us. That's a better word. God exalted Him in the highest place to His right hand, and He shared that place with us. We were able to come into Him. We're in Him. And because we're in Him, He shares the right hand with us and all the glories. And His joy can be fulfilled in us. Amen. Even when you're under the greatest storms of your life, one of the things I'm learning to do now, it's just amazing, is the emotional storms that come at our lives. When that emotional pressure and the things we try to do to deal with them. How many of you ever have emotional pressure? Raise your hand. How many does not have emotional pressure? Raise your hand. That's probably a better, you know. You never go through anything emotional. You can come up here and repent after service, you know. If you're real truthful, everyone experiences that. And there's a way to come through that veil, see. And once the Father starts turning that kind of warfare, you're well on your way to absolute maturity. The thing I wanted to share with you, don't get discouraged because you run into a wall. There is a wall. And there's only one thing that'll get you through the wall. It's your faith. You have to understand, of course there's a wall. You live in another jurisdiction, but there's a part of you that can reach into the other. And sometimes your faith's going to have to press through walls. And we're going to teach you how to do that if you stay long enough and hang out. We'll teach you how to move through and gain the confidence of going in. And once that open heaven gets cleared out, the pathway, I'm telling you, you can sit down. It's just amazing. I want to learn, actually, how to live in it all the day long. But right now, I am learning how to access every single day without fail, which is just amazing. And we can do that. Then we can move on to being with him all the day long. Amen. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Oh, man. While you're working, while you're living, while you're driving. But a lot of times people say, well, I can just fellowship with God in the car. But if you hadn't opened the heavens, you're not in there yet. You got to get that open before you can just walk in there freely. You understand that? There are things that block that position. Your faith has to reach through that blockage. Once that opens and that gate's cleared, yes, you have a much easier access. It's not as near as difficult. But the tendency that we have, my friends, is to draw back when we encounter resistance. When we counter the wall, when we counter blockage, is to draw back out of that. Is something we have to learn to reverse our reaction. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because when we draw back, we run. Then we run and we run and we run until we stop running. Then when you stop running, you're at the end of your running. And then all of a sudden, you got to climb back. You know, you have to go all the way back. We want to learn to stay. And actually, that's what it means, believe it or not, to be rooted and grounded and anchored in Christ. When you're anchored in him, you don't leave him. You don't run from him. Amen?
Colossians 1, verse 19. I want to share this with you. It's going to help you. For pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, Christ, to reconcile all things to himself. He reconciled you. You were severed from him. You could only fellowship with man through the blood of bulls and goats. He could not touch. Your spirit couldn't touch him. And he is a spirit. He wanted that level of fellowship. He wanted you to have the capacity to come to where he was. More importantly, he wanted you to have a container that could contain his love. And he gave that to you. He says, by him I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Now get this. And the body of his flesh through death. Now, what he means by that is he became a sin offering for you, and he took your fallen nature and gave you one of his own. This is very important to understand this next verse. In order to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. He talked about chapter 1 about the hope that was laid up for you in the heavens. Because a lot of times you read that, the hope laid up for you in heaven. Well, I got a hope laid up for me when I get there, my body dies. The hope is laid up for you in the heavens. This whole book is about the hope that's laid up for you in the heavens now. In fact, you're going to find out as we go, most of the good news was the fact that you have not an earthly priesthood. You're a part of a heavenly priesthood. The blessings of the Lord, I bless you with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places, belong to those who come in and become accustomed to those realms. Now, when you approach God, in your approach to the Father, he said, he that cometh to God, when you're coming, God's a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit with truth. He said, you don't worship any longer on this mountain or that mountain. You're not coming to a mountain that can be touched. That's not the mountain we come to anymore, but we come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to the innumerable company of angels and the spirits of just men made perfect. You come through that perfection that he obtained when he forever perfected you by one offering. And when you come through by the new and living way, having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest of all by the new and living way, consecrated by the veil of his flesh. See, when his veil of his flesh, he took your fallen nature, your sin, and he buried it, and you were baptized into his death. You died. That old man died. What came out was the power of his resurrection, was a new creation that's not of this world. That's very important. That new creation belongs to the kingdom of God. And he's very well acquainted, or he can be very well acquainted with the kingdom. He's very much at home in the kingdom. You find the more time you spend with the Father's love, you'll find yourself very much at home with him. You'll find yourself longing more and more every day to be with him all the day long. And this earth will grow strangely dim to you. And as it grows strangely dim, you can be in the fear of the Lord all the day long. On your way, you've got to reach past some veils. On the first veil, the enemy will remind you of who you are in the flesh. You think you're going to obtain some kind of perfection here that allows you to go there in the flesh? You think that Mary Poppins anointing, you can walk in with the church? You know, that one that we put on for everybody? You think that'll get you through? You think God sees right through that? Do you think he knows your faults a couple of billion years before you ever decided to approach him? I want you to look at something real quick, and we'll come back here for a second. Go to Hebrews 13, verse 10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. You sure you want to go back under the law? You have an altar to eat from. He described that altar for about 3 or 4 chapters. It's a heavenly altar. They couldn't get there. Levitical priesthood couldn't get into that altar of heaven. They fell short because they had nothing that could attain to it. They didn't have the passport of the law, the spirit of life, and the power of his resurrection working in them to come and eat from that altar. They had to partake of this one. And in your approach to God, the enemy will always remind you of who you were, your shortcomings, your failures, your faults. When you go in there and you hit that invisible wall and you think, God, and you start getting reminded of, you know, these feelings, these emotions come over you, you know. You want to reach into God. You so desire him. And you feel this wall, and then the enemy starts reminding you, you're not holy. You know, you didn't pray enough. You're not worthy. Insecurity and fears and all these things rise up. But you don't know on the other side, in Romans 8, he's the high priest that passed into the heavens. He said he sits at the right hand, ever making intercession for you. Here's what he's doing at the right hand. Father, I present them holy. I present them unblameable. I present them in me, holy, unblameable and unreprovable, they are worthy to come into the right hand to be with us, Father. They are worthy to be loved. They are worthy to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. They're worthy, Father, to partake of the kingdom. They're worthy because they're in me, and I present them before you, Father, holy. I present them unblameable. I present them unreprovable. Incredible. What happens is, as your faith tries to ascend, if we don't know, and if we're not secure in what he said and have that full assurance that we can go in, sometimes we get talked out of it. We feel that, and we back out while he's making intercession for you to come in, because he does not see you the way you're seeing you. He's not looking at you like that. That is a lie of the enemy that keeps you from penetrating the veil. And so when you're coming into that, that's why I said you got to get what the word says. You've got to have a full heart when you're approaching God. If you're going on an empty tank, you don't have anything to go up against that veil with. When you're going in, you're an empty tank. You're going to go lean on your mind and your emotions, because there's nothing in the form of a compass guiding your spirit into the right hand. So you're going to go by what you feel, and you're going to go by what you think. And the enemy's going to come fill your thoughts. He's going to fill your emotions. And when he does, you'll back out. I guess, what's the use? Ever been there? What's the use? Then you go out in the world, can't partake there, and you find yourself locked somewhere between heaven and the earth. You know, I'm miserable in the world, and I can't find God. The heavens are brass. He doesn't like me today, you know, whatever. You know he loves you, but at the same time, you're wondering why you don't get in, and you're wondering, how come you don't let me in? God, you let them in? How do you know he's letting them in? He lets everybody in. Don't you understand? He already opened that door. It's your faith that has to overcome that. Well, sometimes you can ride in with somebody else's anointing for a while. You get attached to somebody, you can ride in corporately. A lot of people are going to be riding in to the right hand in the days to come through a corporate anointing. They're going to be riding in freely. Just ride right in. There's nothing's going to change your ability to walk in there even when the storms are raging. That's the good part. Boy, when you ever take an emotional storm and turn it and walk into the right hand of the Father, just because your faith overcame a storm. Do you understand what the enemy's going to do with you? He doesn't know what to do with you at that point. It's like, I can't stop him. This stuff worked for 20 years. It doesn't work anymore. I can't stop him. I scream and yell and I arrange all these circumstances and stir all this stuff around them, and they still go up. I can't stop them. Once you're there, you're way far above him. You're way far above. You have a room that you can resort. David, that's what made him so great. He knew how to go there. He knew how to escape into God. He goes, my enemies, Father, they're always around about me, but thou art a strong habitation whereunto I continually resort. Hide me again, Father. Hide me. He knew how to come into that room. And once you're in there, you're so protected. You're so loved. You're so consumed with him. You forget about the trouble in the world. You're not in the world anymore. Don't you understand? You have the ability to come out of this jurisdiction. So you can. There's a divine escape. And you escape into the kingdom. You don't worry about going back, because when you come back out of that place, you have something on you that can deal with the troubles of this world. You don't feel the same way coming back in. You still have trouble. It's just, you get immune to it. It's like, oh, was that an assignment? Ah, shoe fly. Shoe fly. But if you don't have that grace on you, and you're not, that stuff will just rack your brains. It breaks you down inside. The fear, if it penetrates in you, he's presenting you. You have to understand, he's presenting you holy. He's presenting you unblameable. He's presenting you. You got to know that coming in. So when you get reminded, say, no. Jesus, today Father's presenting me holy because I come through the blood. I'm coming through Him because I'm in Him, Father. I am holy. I am unblameable. I'm unreprovable. Yes, He's going to work on things, but not in your approach because you're going through Him. Now, if you just got through with a sin session, you're going to have to repent, of course, and be washed in the blood. You always want to do that. But in your once you're in the ascent and you're coming in, you got to know He's opened that door wide. He said, Father, I will that they be with me where I am in you. I go to the cross to give them this place that I have. Your faith can access daily. It's a room He prepared for you. Be nice if we go visit it every once in a while. It's like, well, I gave them that room 40 years ago. They haven't seen them come in, but it's there. You know what the tragedy is people all their life know a God of the earth. They know the God of the heaven. They just never reach to Him. It's been 50 years. There's ministers that spend 50 years that never touch that realm. They minister down on this side of it. They minister under the anointing, but they don't know how to go in. Oh, my God. I can't even imagine anymore what life would be like that. Amen? All right, let's look at Ephesians chapter 1:1. I'll show you something. You're going to read the Bible differently. When you have the perspective of the right hand, you're going to notice certain words and what they mean. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ. And Ephesus was a very strong church. He was able to really deliver the meat to them. They're a very mature church. That's the kind of church I want us to be, is like Ephesus. Certainly don't want us to be the Corinthian church. Amen. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father. Now watch this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as He hath chosen us in Him. Now, let's back up a minute. According as He has chosen us in Him. Wait a minute. He chose us in Him. Let's read that again. According as He, the Father, has chosen us in Him, the Son. See, God ordained before the foundations of the world that we were going to be found in the Son, because the Lamb was slain before the foundation. God had preordained it that you were going to be found in the Son. You were going to be in Him. You weren't going to be made just as a man, but you were going to give a higher place. Jesus was going to share His throne with you. Not as deity, but as the firstborn. He was going to share His place with the Father at the right hand with you. You were chosen for that position. Chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Now look at it. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Everyone say, I am holy and I am without blame. Now I know that you have issues of the flesh before Him. Holy and without blame. See, He ordained you that you were going to be in Him, predestinated you to be in Him, holy and without blame. So in your approach to Him, where you sit with Him as a joint heir, when you're raised together, you are holy and you are without blame and you have a right to be there because He purchased that right for you. And it doesn't matter in your journey and in your pursuit what you feel like, because once you get there, your feelings will change. Once you enter into the right hand, you don't feel any of the stuff you feel in this jurisdiction. That's why the enemy wants to dump on you. And he wants to use people to dump on you. Because everything is to get you to stay down here and to think that he has power over you. What else you think he raises up the movies like The Exorcist 30 years ago? Get the cross. Instead of, come out! Wouldn't you like to see a movie out of Hollywood? Come out, devil! Thing just flopping, you know. He has to regenerate the fear, see. He wants to remove your position because he was unseated and you were. And so he wants to keep you bound to an earthly jurisdiction. He'll do it any way you let him. He can bind you to the world system, to uncleanness, fornication. Whatever he can bind, if he'll bind you to religion, he don't care. Just he's going to try to bind you down to stop your ascent. Because you're nothing unless you get there. That's why the church doesn't get anything done. Because we don't have what he has there. Because we're not entering into that place. So we try to do church in our own sufficiency. It's not working. You can make it look good, taste good. Doesn't matter. It's a church without power, because power belongs to God. And those who will represent him in true power, not gift power, right hand to the Father, anointing without measure power. You won't have the anointing without measure in a gift realm. Do you understand that? It won't come like that. Anointing without measure is in the right hand of the Father. That kind of power is only reserved to those who live there. Because he's going to make sure you have the proper love to administrate that kind of power. That's why it's presence, love, power. There are stages in the right hand. Presence, love, power. We want power, and then we'll think about loving later. Love. Trust me, you need to be loved more than you presently know. Every single cell in your body, spirit, soul, will absolutely respond to his love. You want it. It's contagious, and you'll want more of it. And he's got a bunch of it. It never runs dry. It's always there. He said, I shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thine house, Father. And you make me to drink of the river of your pleasures. For with thee is a fountain of life. Psalm 36. He's a fountain of life. So it's worth passing through the veil. But you got to know you're holy and without blame going through that veil. If not, the enemy's going to try to stop you with unworthiness. Insecurity, fear, emotional battles, reminding you of yesterday, tomorrow, whatever. But if you go through and go in with an empty tank, you'll more than likely get stopped. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. You're not going to penetrate the heavenlies by emotion, not consistently. And you're not going to be able to write a song all your life into the presence of God. You got to go in through his word. Now, I would advise you, if you don't exactly know what his word is saying, we've already preached about 12 to 15 sermons to date on this. Listen to it on the way. Just listen. If you got to drive 45 minutes, put a CD on. Listen to the revelation. I learned this early with my spiritual father. He broke things I didn't have time to break. I rode on his foundation, see. And I was able to go. God was able to give me this because of what he gave me. I would not have been able to receive the message of the right hand of the Father. God knew who my father needed to be in the spirit. Because this message of the right hand, I could not have had the capacity to receive it had he not given me the capacity and the foundation of the born again trail. He gave me that capacity. And he taught me how to meditate. And he showed me how to meditate the word. And because truth got set in, the Lord was able to deliver this message. I believe this message is the reason we were born. I want to spend the rest of my life delivering this to the body of Christ. Here and at large. But when you're approaching, if you don't have enough word, you're going to get stopped. Because you're going to try to go in. And desire alone is not going to make it through that veil all the time. It's going to be very inconsistent. You can be very hungry. That's why people who fast 40 days, they break into the spirit. But it's because they removed all the flesh, see. But what happens when that resides and that flesh builds that thing? Because your faith, but see, when you build your faith, it's always there. There's a confidence that builds by your faith. That's why if you'll sow the word, sow it, and you get full, then when you approach, you're full, and you'll go right through, you'll bust right through that veil, see. And when you do, something's going to happen to you. A confidence is going to be gained. You're going to begin your entrance to the beginning of your life, not the end. The beginning of your walk with God in the heavenlies as a living stone, experiencing the habitation of God under the shadow of his wings in the heavenly seat. One of the great things you have to make it through is the unworthiness. You got to know you're holy before you begin. I'm unreprovable. I'm unblameable when it comes now. In the natural, there may be some things that I'm still blameable. But when it comes to approaching God, I'm not approaching him in my flesh. I'm approaching him in my new man, the man that's already a citizen of the kingdom. I'm coming in through the citizenship that he purchased for me. My flesh, you think you can perfect yourself in the flesh? What? Not ever. Amen. Having verse 5, predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. I find myself doing something remarkable. When you get caught up in his love, I am your son. I am your son. I am your son. And you are my father. Truly you're my father. Truly I have your DNA. I was born in the earth. But that man was buried. The true part of me is you are my father. I have your DNA and I have a right to live in your love. I have a right as a citizen of the king to be caught up with you, to be at home, to live with you. The tender mercies of heaven, they're so beautiful when they flow. Because the loving kindness is better than life. So the loving kindnesses to me. Oh, Father, send forth your loving kindnesses. Don't underestimate the enemy and his power to deceive. He can lock people down in religious systems for a whole lifetime and never understand one book. They can read 500 of them and never understand what's in one chapter. Because they're locked down. There's so much light in this book. This light has the power to move you out of this jurisdiction. Move you into his light. It's a magnet that draws you. Having predestinated and the adoption of children. I am your son. According to the good pleasure of his will. Watch this. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. What does that mean? You're accepted in him at the right hand of God. You have a right and he fully accepts you in the beloved. You can yell at your husband. More women in here than men tonight. So. You could beat up your husband. Be upset. Have a bad hair day. Get in the flesh. Honk at somebody. Want to run somebody over. Don't even think about going across that lane. We were on our way here. I said, this lady was walking. I said, look, honey, she's not even going to look. She's going to walk across the street. Don't even turn the head to look. You act like that. Listen, you're always going to have little issues with your flesh and your soul because you have a soul that's in the process of being transformed and you have a body that absolutely will fight you for a lifetime. The only time it accepts anything when it's made to sit down, when your spirit is in with the Father, your flesh has no right to be there. So your flesh goes into a standstill. And it has no right to speak to you. That's why when you're in the presence of the Father, you don't feel activity of the flesh. Because you're not in this kingdom anymore. You're not in the jurisdiction of this flesh. It's cut off, see? And when it's cut off, your spirit is in total ascendancy. That's why you don't feel the jurisdiction, the pull of the flesh. You don't feel the emotions. You're not in there solving tomorrow's problem when you're in with the Father. You're not even thinking about yesterday or tomorrow. Your mind gets unseated. That's another big thing, getting in the right hand. Your mind will stand there. It's so full. See? It's wanting to solve tomorrow, solve yesterday. Gotta get the trash out, mow the yard. I gotta mop that bathroom. God, that tub's gotta be cleaned right now. I must go shopping now. For the men, I gotta change the oil. I know I didn't change the oil. Your to-do list goes. That'll cut you off. That's why you gotta be full of the Word. You gotta be full of the Word going in. If you're going up and you're getting denied each time, God's not denying you. You're getting blocked is the better word. If you're getting blocked, you need to fill your tank up, overloading. I'm talking about so, until every time you go, you start talking about it. I can't help. It's what's in me. Once it gets like that, you'll be able to get through. Once you clear the atmosphere, you don't have to sit there and do that all your life and fill up, because you're going to clear a pathway out. Once that pathway gets cleared out, you can make entrance much easier. These days, almost can sit down and boom. The love starts flowing. Pretty soon the power is going to flow. I'm telling you, a minute ago, I felt sheeting power just pass. I said, oh my God. I said, that kind of stuff. When it gets breaking out in the atmosphere, devils don't have a chance. Even 25-year-old church devils. What are those? Those are the ones that come in with people for 25 years. Those. Oh my God, what is happening? I've been able to make it 25 years like this. Out. Power. Glory. First time I felt that kind of. Man, only for a split second, he just wanted me to know it was there. It was right when that was breaking in. Y'all felt that? And that atmosphere break in? Listen, that stuff comes out of the right hand. These are just small little things because we're just getting in. If we as a body will get in together, if we'll go in, he'll open the heavens over this place. It'll go. Listen, God does not want one person going in, two, three, four front row people. He wants everybody. He's not giving you this to do nothing with. You're going to have to practice it. Got to learn. We're putting together all these right hand of the Father, high place scriptures for you. We're putting that stuff together for you to learn to meditate and meditate on that. You got to sow it. You don't. You're going to have a hard time listening to me for the next 5 years. Oh my God. He's talking about the right hand of the Father again. I can't believe he's talking about the right hand of the Father again. You are not an earthly creature. You have a body that confines you here, but the real part of you does not belong to this jurisdiction. You have a soul that lets you communicate with others, providing it's not all messed up. You're supposed to be social, walking in love with others, you know, but if it's all messed up, you'll end up hating everybody. And everybody won't like you either. Well, your spirit is who you are and belongs to another jurisdiction, and you're accepted in that jurisdiction. He made you perfect. He forever perfected that part of you. You have a right to be there. You are forever perfected. You are holy, unblameable, unreprovable when you go in there. Because that's the part of you going in. Your flesh does not go in the heavens. It's your spirit goes in. Not your body, not your flesh. That's why you don't feel the flesh when you're in there. Shaka. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to give you something here. This is these nice wedding scriptures. Marriage scriptures. I passed through this today. I'm going to close here whenever I get ready. The Holy Spirit dropped me into this today. He said, you're reading this one wrong too. I said, oh, wow. The problem is when he drops you in like this, you've read it so long a certain way, you think you know what it says. So when he starts trying to tell you what it says, you'll fight him. That's why you got to contextually understand the entire book was speaking about the right hand of the Father. You were accepted in the Beloved. He raised him and sat him down. Chapter 2, he raised you up, sat you down. Chapter 3, granted you access. Now he speaks concerning Christ and the church here. Verse 32, Ephesians 5, this is the great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So he's going to say he's actually speaking from a heavenly perspective. Okay? Verse 25, but he's also speaking of natural marriage between husband and wife. Husbands, love your wives. You're going to love your wives a lot better if you live with God. Wives, you're going to love your husbands a lot better. You'll respect them a whole lot more if you live with a father. Because you get a different perspective on life. You try to generate some love out of your soul. How long is that going to last? That's why you can go to the seminars, but when the seminar stuff wears off, you're still back to who you are. It's what you receive from the Father on a daily basis determines what you can give to somebody. If you don't receive anything, you can't give anything. Sometimes we need to receive a lot just for God to straighten us out inside. Man, every time I go through the love, I feel whole. So parts of me are awakening and I feel whole, and I still have parts of me that want to hide, you know, and put up walls and things, but he's working on that stuff, see. Because that love melts that stuff. And he gives you the confidence to stand out there, see. And face humanity without some kind of wall or facade. Something you got to be, your church, you know, put the church suit on. We're going into church, you know. You have the ability to walk in with transparency, see. If you're not ashamed. When you're ashamed, you cover. You cover up and you hide. When shame gets removed, you become transparent. Amen. Quiet now. Boy, hit a holy grail there. We'll just move on. So, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And he gave himself. Now, this word it is used two or three times. This word it can be actually used as it and a her. It's still speaking of the church. It can mean he, she, it, her. I like to say it is her. It's the bride. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ, verse 25, his love of the church and gave himself for her. When he gave himself for her, now it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word. And then he might present it to himself, a glorious church. And I'm thinking, what if you don't might want to do it? What if you might not want to do it? I said, you might present us, you may not. I said, since when's the gospel conditional? So I had to go back into the interlinear today, into the original Greek. That word might's not there. Okay? There's no might. That's just translation stuff. Amen? With people, I can handle maybe. You're going to get a lot of maybes with people. Well, I don't know. I might. I'll think about it. God doesn't do that. Amen? You can't approach a God that maybe will let you in. Amen. That he might sanctify and cleanse it. So God might sanctify you and he may not. You know, you got to ask that question, you know. Now, here's a better way to read that. All right. Ephesians, last part of Ephesians, verse 25, 5 and 25. He gave himself for her in order. That word that means in order to sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. Okay? He gave himself for the church on the cross in order to sanctify her through the washing. And he goes and refers, the washing of the water of the word is referring to baptism. And it's the sanctification you receive really when you were baptized into his death, but he's using the imagery of the baptism of water. When you're washed in the water, when you're washed in the old man that he, in order that he may sanctify you through that process of the washings of the water of the word to present you. See, you're born again. When you were baptized, your old man died. The old man was crucified. The new man is a new man. The new man. Haven't learned to walk through walls yet. The pulpit still gets in the way. When y'all see me walk through the pulpit, we have arrived. Amen. Watch this. In order to sanctify and cleanse her, he gave himself for her by the cross. So in order to sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word, in order so that he could present her to himself, a glorious church. In order, he washed you in baptism in order to sanctify you and present you to himself. He's presenting you to himself. Jesus washed you so he could present you to the Father. Without spot, without wrinkle. I know you think you got to get rid of your spots and wrinkles. You think that anytime you're wearing this flesh suit in this lifetime, you're not going to have spot and wrinkle? Are you kidding me? Guys who make it 80 years with God still have spot and wrinkle. The spot and wrinkle is gone because he washed that part of you. When you were baptized into him, when you came up, you were perfected. And now he presents you to himself without spot, without wrinkle, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Isn't that amazing? Wow. That we should be holy and without blemish. Now that word should, I'm closing. The last part of that verse, 27, but that it should be holy and without blemish, that she should be, that word actually is might. The first two mights are not in there. The other one, the should, does mean might. He might. Now let me show you what this means now. So you're going. Anytime you go through a new gate, the cow always looks at the gate and says, Grandpa, Daddy Cow did not tell me about this gate. Daddy Cow didn't tell me about this gate. I've been with you all my life. We've been coming. I hadn't seen this gate. Let me read it to you. Ephesians 5:25. He gave himself for her in order to sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. That's the baptism. That's born again. In order to present her to himself. What is he? He was presenting you before the Father. Father, they're holy. They're unblameable. Forever perfected. See, he's presenting you in that state of perfection to the Father. And the reason he's doing that is so you're accepted by God's standards of perfection. You are accepted to receive and partake of the heavenly gift, of the kingdom, of the Father's love, of his glory and his power. Okay, I'm going to read it one more time. He gave himself for her in order to sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word, in order to present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, so that she should be holy without blemish. So that she might be or should be. The reason the should be at the end is that's after. Providing the fact that you're getting presented every day. Providing the fact you're partaking of the Father. And he's washing and filling you and accepting you. So the issues you do have in the flesh will be without spot and blemish. Understand that? Part of this, he's presenting you into the heavenlies. The other part, you're going back in who you are in the earth. You're without spot and blemish, providing you're going. Amen? Providing. That's why, last scripture, Colossians, you can meditate that. That's why. Verse 21, Colossians 1, we're going to close here. And you that were sometimes alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have he reconciled. He's washed you. You're baptized into his death, raised in the power of his resurrection, in the body of his flesh through death. Verse 22, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if, kingdom of God, there's a big if, you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, being not moved away. He can't present you perfect if you're not approaching him. You've got to continue to go and continue to be presented. But if you move away, he can't present you in a fallen, moved away state. He's only presenting you perfect as you come through him, approaching the Father. That's why he said that they should be without blemish. Providing that there may, you may or may not. If you're not going to him, you're going to have plenty of blemish. Do you understand? Verse 27, to whom? Colossians 1:27, God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Oh, that's a big word. Whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom. I said, what are you warning them? You're warning them not to move away, not to draw back. If any man draw back, see, he that cometh to God, but any man draw back. The whole kingdom of God is about being attracted to a magnet in heaven. Your whole life is being attracted to this heavenly magnet. There's never a time that you don't want to be attracted to that. And if you're not, you're doing your own thing and you're not taking up your cross. You're living for yourself. You're living in the earth and living for yourself. But as soon as you connect to God, isn't it amazing? As soon as we connect, we want to go. We want to be with him. Your whole future, whether you know it or not, whether you're running, drawing back, your whole future is in him. That's why to go higher, you got to go further into him. Because there are stages and advancements and promotions in the kingdom that require your advancement into him. You're not going to get promoted by pulling out and just doing something in the flesh over here. That's Ishmael. That will never prosper in the kingdom. Isaac's found by your advancement in him. You want to find your future? Start penetrating the heavens, because as he pulls you in, then he begins to unravel your future. And as you come into successful stages, he blesses and releases your destiny through the right hand. That's how God set it up. If you want more, you go higher. And God's infinite in your pursuit of him. Amen.